Since 2013, Bombas has donated over 100 million socks, underwear, and T-shirts to those facing homelessness. If we counted those on air, this ad would last over 1,157 days. But if we counted the time it takes to make a donation possible, it would take just a few clicks. Because every time you make a purchase, Bombas donates an item to someone who needs it.
Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com/ACAST, code ACAST.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss. plushcare.com/weightloss.
Hi, welcome to Bitch Slap. This is Rachel Fisher.
Hi, it's Ceci Jenikin.
We're back, bitches. We're back.
Yeah. I was like, where are we? I literally started this episode and I was like, I have no idea what happened last week, but I pieced it together.
I did too. I actually went looking for my notes from episode 29 and I had deleted them.
I honestly was like, am I watching the right episode? Like, I was fully convinced I'd show up here and have watched the wrong episode, even though I looked at my TV and you can tell where you stopped.
No,
I was like, wait, I don't remember, but I recognized 29's synopsis. Yes. So I know I watched it. But yeah.
So this is season 2. Episode 30.
I forgot the title.
Does he?
I forgot my job.
Oh, it's Devil with the G-String.
Okay, you're right. I did remember reading that. I completely forgot.
And also, it's not episode 30. It's episode 29.
It is?
Wait, is
no, it's 30. It's 30.
Is it?
Yeah.
Oh my God, this is a mess. Well, whatever we have typed in as the title is the correct one.
Yeah.
Because I'll 30. Go back. Look, we are in shambles right now. I think both of us are very excited.
Yeah.
To be back. Thank you for your patience.
Let's get started.
Yeah, let's just get right into it. We're at the hospital. We're at Wilshire Memorial. And everyone's waiting around for Joe because... if you remember, in the last episode, Joe was pushed down the stairs by Sarah's abusive boyfriend, Hank.
Right. And this is a classic soap opera move. If someone is pregnant, they're going to fall downstairs or get pushed or something, and the baby will be in peril.
It happens every time. And yes. So Joe is in the hospital. Jake is in the room comforting her, and she's scared. But then the hot doctor comes in, very soap opera looking doctor.
Yes, he probably got work off of this.
Yeah, and he's like, well, your baby's fine. Everything's fine.
Yeah, you're fine.
And you're fine.
I forgot we were still doing the Models, Inc. crossover. I was like, this is still going on?
It's the longest backdoor pilot in history.
Yeah, this is before they knew how to do it in one episode.
Dude, it's like enough already.
Yeah.
I forgot how tedious this Sarah storyline is.
Ugh. Yeah, she's awful.
Anyway, so Amanda stops by the hospital and Jake comes out of Joe's room to tell everyone waiting in the lobby that Joe and the baby are okay. And as everyone's like leaving, getting ready to leave, Jake tells Amanda that he's canceled his charter for the day. Because remember, Jake is like doing his boat chartering business.
Yeah. And this is infuriating to Amanda.
She is furious.
Because their storyline now is she's jealous of Joe and always wants Jake to pick her over anything else, including especially Joe.
Right. But Jake is still so emotionally attached to Joe, even though he doesn't realize how emotionally attached he still is to her. And she's a damsel who needs saving right now. And Amanda's like, really lousy excuse, Jake, and you know it.
Yeah, because it's not just the boat.
Yeah.
Or he's canceling it to be with her, I guess, right? Because she's all alone.
Yeah. And Billy and Allison, they're leaving the hospital. Allison's wearing her salmon-colored long-sleeve t-shirt, and she has, like, this piece of juicy gossip that has just been burning in her back pocket.
One thing I love on Melrose Place is if a cast member is in the hospital, everyone shows up.
They all go. And at the same time.
Yes.
At the same time.
That I don't feel like I've ever done that before, unless it was like an emergency all of a sudden with family, not friends necessarily.
No, I've visited friends in the hospital before and had like mutual friends that have also visited in the hospital, but we never show up at like the same time.
Yeah. In fact, you often want to space it out.
You stagger it.
Yeah.
But everyone's been like waiting in this hospital lobby for God knows how long. And so Billy and Allison are leaving together, and she confesses to him that she saw Chaz and Amanda making out in Amanda's office. Or in the conference room. Not even the office. In the conference room.
I know. I love this distinction. Because it's made of, again, later. The conference room. I was like, who gives a shit?
I think it's to be like, they did it in like a public space. Right. They did. This is a communal space.
It wasn't her private office for fucking.
Chaz's jizz might have gotten on one of the chairs in the conference room.
And I forgot that Allison did see them in. And while he's trying to fuck Amanda, he side-eyes her through the blinds, remember? Chaz. Yeah. So she knows he saw her.
Yeah, he gives her like kind of a pervy look like, yeah, I'm tapping this.
Yeah.
You know it. I know it. The whole office is going to know it.
Yeah, Amanda. I mean, Allison cannot keep a secret.
She can't keep a secret. So she tells Billy, and Billy's like, Allison, you can't tell anyone about this.
Yeah.
And she's like, Chaz saw me.
Mm-hmm.
And he's like, well, just do what I do. Play dumb.
That's not playing,
Billy. And she's like, oh, Billy, I feel so bad for Jake.
Yeah.
And he's like, you can't tell. You can't tell Jake, Allison.
Yeah. Leave it alone.
Leave it alone. Just let it go.
Well, we know that's not happening.
That's not going to happen, Billy. And so she swears. She's like, I won't tell. I'll just keep this secret.
Yes.
Kimberly and Michael are in the locker room at the hospital, and he's bitching about Jane and all these profit losses because, as you remember, Michael found a way to get his cut of Jane Mancini Designs.
I love how Kimberly greets Michael, too. She's like, hey, darling. Kimberly is out of control.
She's really laying it on thick because since she's come back from the dead, we know, the audience knows, but Michael and everyone else doesn't know that she's, well, I guess Sydney knows. Sydney's convinced that,
yes.
Sydney's the only person that's hip to the fact that Kimberly's had a personality change.
But no one believes Sydney because she's crazy.
Yeah, because it's Sydney. Mm. So she's really laying it on thick with Michael to be like, everything's great. We're going to get married.
Hey, darling.
Hey, darling. And he's like, God damn it. Jane's such a bitch. Look at these profit losses.
We're in the red.
Kimberly takes a look at these statements and she's like, this looks like she's cooking the books.
I like Michael too. He's like, oh yeah, I forgot your dad's an accountant. I was like, we didn't need that exposition. Like the writers were like, let's see why Kimberly's good at numbers.
Yeah.
And oh, yeah.
She even says, I guess I inherited it.
Yeah. I was like, that's not something inherited.
So Kimberly has a devious look on her face and she's like, looks like Jane's been cheating some of these figures. I'm going to have to do some investigating.
Yeah. Michael's happy.
He's like, yeah. No, yeah, I know.
Yeah, let's get her.
I know why I'm with such a smart broad.
Yeah. See you later, babe.
At D&D, Chaz is waiting in Amanda's office. He's sitting in her chair. And she walks in and she's like, you have no business being in here.
Mm.
She doesn't give a shit that they just fucked.
No, she's moved on.
Amanda has post-nut clarity.
Yes.
And
she does.
I just imagine having post-nut clarity with Chaz. Like, I would want to just, like, hide in the woods forever.
Yeah, that's a bad one. That's why you got to go extra hard with the clarity. Because he's so awful.
He's so gross. And she's like realizing that she made a terrible mistake. And she, and he's like, yeah, you know, it's all I've been thinking about.
He's so skeezy. I wrote down business only Chaz, which I think is a really funny doll, like a Ken doll. Right.
But business only is like in quotes.
Yes.
Because it's not serious.
Yes.
It's like, yeah, sure. We're business only.
I think she must have said to him, it's business only between us.
She did.
And I wrote down business only. And then I just wrote Chaz. Like,
I wrote that down.
Oh,
I wrote
you did?
That down too. Yeah. She's like business only. But he... Because she doesn't want anything to happen, but he's like, I'm into it. I think he's like, you know, sometimes people just need to let loose.
Yeah. Maybe she's playing a little hard to get.
He thinks it's hot.
Chaz has definitely been accused of sexual assault, I think.
I agree.
Because he's pushed it.
He's definitely been inappropriate in the workplace before.
Absolutely.
At the strip club, Sydney is backstage. Remember, Sydney has... In the last episode,
right.
Sydney took a job or applied for a job at this strip club because she needs to make $5,000.
It's a really sleazy strip club too. Like,
what's it called again? Like something stocking?
I can't remember. I meant to write it down.
I forgot to write it down. But Sydney is backstage about to go on. She's wearing a bowler hat like she's about to do a number from Cabaret.
I know. I was like, is her... character sec like slutty Charlie Chaplin or something. Like,
she's giving Sally Bowles,
but not even cool. Like, it's bad. It is Party City.
It's Party City Cabaret.
Yeah.
And she, right before she goes on, the MC, the owner, is like, what's your name? And she goes, just call me Jane.
I knew that was coming.
She's such a pervert.
And he calls her Jungle Jane.
Yeah.
Which is good because it does give her more of a theme when we see her next.
He's helping her with her brand.
Yeah.
And yeah, he introduces her as Jungle Jane and she does her little strip tease. And she's like, you can tell she's a little nervous, but she's okay. She's like, definitely like, she's like, she has a goal.
It's the lunch crowd.
It's she works the lunch crowd, except for later on when it's nighttime. At Jane Mancini Designs, Kimberly stops by and she's like, hi, Jane. You know, I did some investigating with these profits. And she clocks Jane. She's like, looks like you're doing some fancy accounting here.
Yeah. And Jane accuses her of taking Sydney lessons.
Yeah.
Because Kimberly is devious. She called up vendors to see how much they were actually ordering from Jane. And it turned out to be four times as much as Jane said.
Right.
Which is insane.
It's so insane.
Who is ordering that much Jane Mancini? When Kimberly walks in, there's like a wedding dress on a mannequin or a dressmaker's thing. And it's just like this hideous... big puffy. It's just kind of like, what is going on here?
I think that's Allison's wedding dress.
Is she? Oh, right. Is she just like hand sewing? Like, this is not a business. Where is she manufacturing stuff?
I like that all of these clothes are being made at the shop.
It's crazy.
Because isn't this also a store?
I have no idea what it is or where it is. It doesn't seem like there's a storefront, but it's a weird warehouse manufacturer place, if it isn't a store.
Who's buying, where are these clothes being sold?
Melrose.
Yeah.
One of those stores.
One of those weird stores on Melrose Place. I mean, on Melrose Avenue.
Yeah.
So Jane tries to deny that she's cooking the books. And then Kimberly loses it for a moment. She's like, I'm going to find out.
Yes, she snaps and evil Kimberly comes out. And Jane's like, whoa, here's your money.
Yeah. Yeah, Jane is so scared that she's like, oh, shit. And Kimberly's like, take care of it, Jane, or I'll see you in court.
And Marcia Cross is such a good actress. Like, that line, snap, is so natural, but very scary because it is a clear break. Like a psychotic break or something.
It's very subtle. You're right. It happens so suddenly, but it is like seamless.
Yeah.
And she catches herself, but she's still stern.
Yes.
back at D&D, Amanda tells Chaz and Allison, hey, you guys did great work. Amanda's in a good mood.
Yeah, she's gotten fucked by Chaz. She's ended things with him. She's back. She's back in her Amanda mode on top of everything.
She thinks everything's wrapped up real tidy.
Yeah.
And she leaves them alone in the office. And Chaz confronts Allison in a really pervy way.
Yeah.
He's like, I know you. I know you saw us.
I saw you watching. So you,
like, Chaz is the kind of guy, if this had gone any further, he would have asked or proposed a three-way with Allison and Amanda.
Did it make you wet?
He's so gross. Chaz confronts her, and Allison's like, I don't know anything. And she's like, I don't want to get involved in this.
Yeah.
And Chaz starts turning it around on Amanda. He's like, well, she practically raped me.
Yeah, this was crazy.
That was a really crazy use of words.
Yes.
He's like,
he's probably using things people said to him before.
Right.
Against Amanda.
Yeah.
Because he had it like laid out.
He really did. He like, it was like a script.
Yeah.
He's like, you know, she came on to me. She practically raped me.
Incredible.
So you can't blame this. And she's like, I don't want any part of your weird thing with Amanda.
Right. Because he's already setting up a storyline for when it comes out with Amanda's mom. Because this is Amanda's mom's boyfriend, if you forgot.
Yeah.
Not you, but the listeners.
And also Amanda's future stepfather.
Ugh.
Because
so
they're engaged.
Yes.
I just can't. It's so funny thinking about Chaz being a stepfather to Amanda.
He is a classic stepfather vibe, though, but not to an adult woman.
not to an adult.
Ugh.
Amanda then sees Allison and she's like, are you all right? And Allison's like, I gotta go. She blows Amanda off. She's like so uncomfortable. She leaves D&D or the office. And Amanda is like,
She's clocking it.
She's like real suspicious.
Yes.
Something's going on with Allison. The next day, Jake and Sarah, the model, are helping Joe back into her apartment. And Jake's like, just want to be helpful.
Yeah.
He just wants to help Joe. And she's like, Jake,
you're annoying.
I got it. I'm a woman. I'm a grown woman.
Also, I'm sorry. I know she has a baby, but the baby's fine. And she wasn't injured.
No, she didn't have a scratch on her.
There's nothing wrong with her. Once the baby is fine, she's good.
They're like carrying her into the apartment.
No, they're acting like she was stabbed or something. Like, she's fine.
She's literally probably just has a bruise on her butt.
Yeah. I mean, it's crazy.
But they're like, oh my God, be careful.
Yeah. It's really funny.
You're in a really delicate situation. And Jake asks Sarah where Hank is, and she doesn't know. And Jake's like, we all know why Jake wants to know where Hank is.
He's going to kick his ass.
Jake wants to wreck this guy.
Yeah.
And Sarah's like, well, he might be at this 8-ball sports bar.
I like that he would do something like this crime and then just go to his regular 8-ball spot.
Yeah.
Like, he would be in hiding in real life.
He'd be back in, where's he from? Iowa.
Or he'd at least be hiding out in a sleazy motel.
Right.
Like, he wouldn't be like, let me go to my regular haunts. I know people are looking for me.
Wearing my high school Letterman jacket.
Yeah.
Why is he wearing this jacket?
Because he's the high school boyfriend.
He's so embarrassing. So Jake heads out. He's like, all right, I'm going to head out. Like, Sarah just knows. She's like, oh, sweet. Jake's going to go find him and kick his ass.
I mean, I don't blame her.
No. We've talked about this before. Jake would be such a cool guy to have in a situation like this where you just like need your abusive ex-boyfriend's ass kicked.
You just drop a hint. Your hands are clean. Drop a hint. Jake runs off. Don't ask questions. Just let him go do his thing.
Because we know if there's a woman or a kid in trouble, there's like, Jake is going to get real horny for revenge.
He doesn't like men treating women poorly.
No.
He will emotionally abuse women, Jake.
Right. But as soon as hands
get
put on a woman or a child, he is like, he's going to fuck you up.
He's going to fuck you up. He's Justice Jake.
Justice Jake?
Yes.
He really is. So he runs into Amanda in the courtyard, and she's like, you're a hard man to track down.
It's like, doesn't she have a job? Why is she always just walking into the courtyard?
It's the middle of the day.
Yeah.
Did you just drive from Wilshire, Miracle Mile?
Yeah. Because
that's where D&D is, right? It's Miracle Mile.
Yes.
Did you just drive there to West Hollywood just to go, you're a hard man to track down.
Yeah.
And then she invites him to dinner at the Bel Air Racquet Club.
It's like, how many times do we have to go through Amanda inviting Jake to a dinner at a fancy place and, you know, knowing that he probably won't show up or something else will happen? It's like, once again, this test for Jake and Amanda.
If I were Jake, I would be like, yeah, I'll go to dinner with you guys, but we're going to El Compadre.
Yes.
Like, we're going someplace normal.
Yeah, a racquet club.
We're not. Here's the thing about Amanda. She's not, like, old. She's, like, in her early 30s, right?
No.
But she goes to the lamest places. Yeah. She hangs out in Bel Air and Beverly Hills.
Yeah, why doesn't she just go to, like, a nice restaurant?
She goes to all these old rich people places.
I mean, I know it's the mom's birthday, so maybe the mom picked it.
Yeah, but I feel like Amanda just, like, loves these. I mean, she did that with her dad, too.
Yeah. So she's got issues.
She has, like, Amanda needs to go to cooler places.
I think she loves to be seen as rich and upscale.
I think she starts doing cooler stuff in, like, later seasons.
When she's banging the doctor?
When she's with Peter Burns. No, I feel like when she gets with Kyle, she finally, like, starts maybe being a little more hip.
Yeah.
I think Amanda thinks she's really hip.
She is kind of square. She makes fun of Allison for that, but she is equally as boring in some ways. She's just a bigger bitch.
She's obviously better dressed than Allison, but I think her taste is, like you said it, it's square.
Yeah.
Because she's like always eating at these places with those giant leather wingback chairs.
She's uptight,
she
Amanda.
Is uptight.
Yeah.
Anyway, we all know how Jake's going to feel about eating at a place like this, but he reluctantly agrees. He's like, I got a couple things. I got something to take care of.
Mm.
I'll meet you there. Anyway, should we take a quick break here?
Sure.
We'll be right back.
Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Wow.
Nice.
Yeah.
What you're hearing are the sounds of people everywhere putting on Bombas socks, underwear, and T-shirts made from absurdly soft materials that feel like plush clouds. Yeah, that plush. And the best part? For every item you purchase, Bombas donates another to someone facing homelessness.
Bombas. Big comfort for everyone. Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com/ACAST. Code ACAST.
Allison is watching Jake and Amanda have this little talk about whatever, the Bel Air Racquet Club, from her window. She is peeking through the blinds, watching them, and Billy comes up to her and he's like, hey, you're snooping.
Yeah, no shit, Billy.
I'd be so annoyed.
It's so irritating.
I'd be like, don't shame me for being nosy.
Yeah.
How dare you, Billy? And Allison is just like, Billy, just can't stop. I need to know what's going on.
Allison truly cannot just have some juicy gossip and just be fine. It literally tortures her day and night.
She needs to learn to have fun with this.
Just have fun and be like, I cannot believe they're still together. Like, we know something. Like, you should have a juicy little secret. She's so stupid.
And Billy being like so heterosexual can't take delight in this with her.
Yes.
He's so boring about it.
Yeah, they're both so stupid. The worst people to have good gossip.
So, like, if this was Matt and Rhonda. Mm.
Yeah, where's Matt?
Dude, I think.
I forgot about
I'll
him.
Tell you where Matt was. Matt went to the bachelor party.
Was he at the bachelor party?
Was poor Matt. Had to,
okay, they I didn't even
made
see him
go to the bachelor party.
That's so funny. I completely forgot about him.
Anyway, so Michael is planning Billy's bachelor party. And of course, Allison's worried because she's like, she knows. She's like, Michael is disgusting.
Definitely who you want planning your bachelor party, though.
Absolutely. You know it's gonna... Absolutely. If there's one thing Michael Mancini is good for, it is planning a depraved, disgusting bachelor party. And that's, I would hire him for my bachelorette party.
And the funny thing to me is that they're all still friends with Michael.
I know.
Like, we're just supposed to accept it.
Even though he's proven to be fucking evil.
Like, the women must all be like, are you serious? Like, why are you still... Like, can you imagine your boyfriend still hanging out with some guy who, like, did so many awful things?
Yeah.
It would be... I would be like, no, sorry.
Can you imagine if this was, like, in the days of Twitter, there'd be, like, some long thread by someone... one of the Melrose Place girls being like, are we just going to ignore the fact that Michael Mancini tried to murder Sydney, his fiance or his wife? Are we just going to ignore the fact that he cheated on Jane Mancini and Kimberly and got into almost a drunk driving accident, put her into a coma?
And what did it, blackmailed Matt? Like, seriously.
Yeah. Are we all just going to forget that?
Yeah. Because I haven't.
People would be calling him out on Twitter.
Yeah. And these guys would be totally in trouble for hanging out with him.
Gentle reminder, Michael Mancini's a predator.
Yeah. He is a predator. And these guys are like, yeah, he's planning the bachelor. Like, all of them.
All of them.
Not even Matt. Who has a real reason not to hang out with Michael, because Michael actually did something to him personally.
Horrible.
Yeah.
And Michael's been, are we just going to forget Michael Mancini was homophobic towards Matt?
Right. That's right too.
Look, he is problematic.
He's done a lot of bad things.
He is a problematic guy, but he's planning this bachelor party and it's going to be crazy. And Allison's like, Billy, you love that he's planning this.
Yes, Billy does.
So Allison, this gets her horny. Ugh. She has to assert her... like womanly sensuality to Billy in this moment to remind him, look, this is who you're marrying. And she strips off her shirt and she's wearing a white lace bra.
It's a maiden form.
It's a total Desi. Allison is maiden form.
She whips it off and you're just like, what?
Allison is, if maiden form was a person.
It's like the least sexy bra ever. Ugh. It's crazy.
Maiden form will always remind me of being like 14 years old shopping in the lingerie department at Macy's.
Right. Because her bra is literally like white. It probably even had the little pink rose thing in the middle.
Yeah. Yeah.
Remember that pink little satin rose?
Yes. I'm sure I'm almost positive I had some maiden forms.
Oh, I probably wanted that bra with a little rose.
This is the era also of Wonder Bra.
Oh my God.
Do they still make Wonder Bras? Because I completely loved forgot. Wonder Bra.
I remember when I kind of grew up, I got the black bra with the pink rose.
Yeah. Ooh, the black, because you start out with the white and the nude.
Yeah.
And then you get the black bra and you're like,
now
I'm a woman. Dude, I loved bra shopping as a teenager. I had no boobs. So I was all about those like big push-up bras.
Right. And you could probably wear all of the different styles.
I could, but as a teenager in like the early 2000s, when like it's all about like tits and abs,
right?
You don't got tits,
yeah,
or abs,
yeah. You can do something with the tits.
You get one of those. Do you remember those water bras?
No, I never used things like that.
Oh, you're so lucky.
But I liked, I was like, I always wanted the little bralettes.
Yeah.
And I couldn't do those.
No, I was so, I was like only wore push up. I mean, my boobs were like told my, there was like false advertising.
Yeah.
With the kind of bras up, but they were just like, they were so popular.
The
then.
Wonder Bra was so funny though. Cause that had a moment.
It's had such a moment.
Yeah.
Anyway, so Allison strips and she's like, I just want you to, Billy, I just want you to know that I'm your, going to be your hot wife.
And she calls him Billy Boy.
She's so horny.
She's so gross with her sexiness because she's like, you're not going to think about those strippers once you see me in my maiden form, my first bra. I'm going to put a smile on your face for the rest of your life. It's just like, no one's buying this, Allison. Just lie back and just wait for it to be over.
She's, look, one of the reasons that strippers are magical is because their whole job is serving a fantasy.
You wouldn't even compete with a stripper because it's a different thing.
It's a different level. Like, these are professional women who know how to create this fantasy. And there's Allison just doesn't.
There's also something about saying it instead of just doing it.
Just do it.
Yeah.
He loves you, Allison.
And Billy, she's like, oh.
He's like excited he gets to see multiple pairs of tits tonight, including his fiance's.
Yeah, he likes that bra.
At the 8-Ball Bar, which is a pool hall, not a place to buy cocaine, Jake confronts Hank, who's wearing his Letterman jacket.
Yeah.
And Jake immediately comes in hot. He's like, huh? Oh, you just playing pool?
Yeah.
Just hanging out at the 8-Ball Bar?
I love Jake because he is always looking to let that side out.
Yes.
If he has an opportunity to be angry righteously, he'll take it.
Jake is the patron saint of righteous anger.
Yeah. He can't let it go.
He has serious anger management issues, but if it's for a righteous cause, it's just, and he doesn't have to work on that.
That's how he's managed it. He just finds an outlet for it. He doesn't even have to know. He'll beat up your boyfriend, even if you're just a friend at the office. He'll go beat up. He just needs to hear it and he's down.
He's like at Earth Cafe and he overhears a woman be like, ugh, Brad is so annoying. He's like, who's Brad?
Yeah. What did he do to you?
When we take care of him?
Yeah. Did he treat you wrong? I don't like disrespecting women.
Jake just like bursts into some fucking dermatology office and it's like, where's Brad? I'm looking for Brad.
Like, sir. I heard you said Kelsey looked fat.
So Jake gets into a fist fight with Hank and they're like wrestling on the pool table. And then
everyone in the bar is into it.
Yeah,
too.
They're like, ooh, this is hot.
But I was surprised when Hank got a good shot in, a good hit in.
He punched Jake, but then Jake punches Hank's lights out.
Yes, but when he got that first punch in, I was like, oh, it looks like an even match.
It did. It really did.
For a second.
But this is a pretty short fight.
Very short.
Because Jake knocks him out, and Hank is on the ground like, God damn you.
When Hank fell to the ground, he really did a little quiver, too.
Yeah.
Did you notice?
He did.
He was like, whoa.
He did do a quiver. And Jake says something so dumb, he like tips him off that the cops are on the way. Like, you don't tell him that.
I guess that's how strong he hit him. He's like, he ain't going nowhere.
He really thought.
Like, the LAPD's on the way. I just wanted to get here first. I was like, you really got to get that timing. Make sure that timing worked, right?
It's like, Jake, you should have said that if the LAPD were literally outside.
Yes.
But now he has a chance to get away.
Absolutely.
And he does. At the hospital, Kimberly is wheeling a patient with some nurses from like a new patient into his room, and we learn that he's allergic to penicillin. And she takes, so when he gets wheeled into his room, she takes his chart and peels off the sticker that says, warning, allergic to penicillin.
Is that how they do it? Because that's kind of risky. Stickers seem like they could just peel off or whatever. Like,
Yeah.
I mean, have it both, right? Written somewhere and then also.
Yeah. Written, typed, and sticker.
Yeah.
So you do not, because that is like a very important information.
And part of me at first is like, why is she doing, like, it's like, is she an angel of death? Like, do you know what I mean? She's just doing it for fun.
No, I had forgotten about this storyline. So I thought that too at first. At the Bel Air Racquet Club, Chaz and Amanda talk at the bar. And then Amanda's mom arrives with one of her clients. They're trying, see, they're just shoving Models Inc. down our throat.
And I have to say, this is a very attractive woman, obviously. But if I'm supposed to buy this as the number one model, okay. I'm like, she does not look like a model.
I'm sorry.
She's attractive, but she's not like that model look. Do you know what I mean?
I feel so vindicated right now because I felt the same way when I saw her, and I felt like such a bitch for thinking
she also looked older, which, you know, models are very young usually.
Yeah, she just didn't look like 90s supermodel.
Yeah.
The only thing was that she was tall.
Yeah. It was just, I was like, I can't buy that. That's your top model. I'm sorry. Like, I mean, maybe it is your top model, but that's why you're not elite management
but
or
this
Ford.
Is like the top model. Yeah. The top model of this agency and allegedly really famous.
That's what I'm saying. Like, she's obviously a beautiful woman. It was just, if you watch the episode, you know what we're talking about. She just didn't look model-y. Like,
she looked too, like she was pretty, but she looked more like this is the most beautiful commercial model, like catalog model.
Yes. And we're supposed to buy, she's like cover girl, famous type model.
She's no Linda, honey.
No, it was very crazy.
She's no Linda. So they sit down at a table and Amanda's mom, Hillary's like, Amanda, what a surprise. And Amanda's like, happy birthday, mother.
Yeah. So Amanda didn't know she was a surprise. Chaz just didn't tell the mom.
And that cuts.
Yeah.
That cuts deep for Amanda. We see Jake talking to the maitre d'. And Jake's getting into it with the maitre d'.
Because he's still amped up.
He's amped up. And of course, he doesn't want to be at this stuffy place in Bel Air. And Amanda goes over and she learns that they want him, he's not wearing a tie. And he's like, this is Los Angeles. I'm supposed to wear a tie? He's like, yes, it's part of our
rules. This is Los Angeles. I don't wear ties. It's California style.
No. Jake, this is the kind of country club that just started letting Jews be members. This is like a very old school place.
They're looking not to let people in.
They do not want to let your motorcycle ass in this club.
And he is wearing a blazer with an open collared button up shirt.
It's not even buttoned all the way. He looks really hot, but they give him like that tie that they keep behind the podium. Yeah.
The ugly.
The like communal tie.
That kind of matches everything.
Yeah. It's like red and navy stripes.
Yes, absolutely.
So Amanda sees that there's a bruise on his face, and she goes, more defending for Joe?
More defending for Joe. She nailed it.
He's pissed off. He's like, I don't even want to be here, Amanda.
Oh, we know.
Why don't you just, you know, bug out, whatever he says to her.
I mean, what Amanda should have done is gotten turned on by the bruise on his face and be like, let's get the fuck out of here. That's what cool Amanda should do.
Yeah.
Instead, she's stuffy and she's like, no, we got to make this dinner.
The menu and the food at this place is probably so mediocre. It's probably like really overcooked lamb chops with that mint jelly sauce. Like
or trout almondine.
Not even. They might.
No,
I think that's like a special.
I think they would.
I think they have trout almondine as a special on Friday. You're right. But I also think they have like just like a really sad poached chicken breast.
Ugh.
With some kind of sauce.
The dieter special.
They have a dieter special. This is just really bland, under-seasoned, it's just not good.
Yeah.
I just feel like this was such a poor choice for your birthday dinner.
Well, yeah, she could have gone anywhere else.
And a really rock-hard, cold chocolate tort for dessert. Ugh.
Death by chocolate.
A death by chocolate tort that doesn't taste good.
No, those never tasted good.
Anyway, Jake storms off.
I don't want to be part of a club that wouldn't have me as a member. He tries to do a little twist
on
that old saying.
Yeah.
It doesn't go off as well.
If there is an opportunity for Jake to storm off indignantly at like a stuffy establishment, he's going to take it.
This is like the 10th Amanda dinner he's ruined by not showing up, making a scene, showing up angry. Like, have they ever had a successful dinner?
You're right. I don't think they have. And this is also like the 10th time that Amanda has tried to shoehorn her lame, stuffy life into his face.
Yeah. You got a hot guy like Jake, you leave your stuffy life behind and change your life. And just get into it.
This is where you take off on the back of his motorcycle and you go eat burgers under the stars.
Yes. And that's what Amanda needs. And she's still holding on to this idea of being this rich girl or something. It's
crazy.
They're
so mismatched. It's insane.
But it could be super hot if she went along with it.
She doesn't let her hair down ever for Jake. Anyway, he leaves. Back at Joe's apartment, she's talking to Sarah. We hear Sarah's talking about her career. It's super boring. But then the phone rings and Sarah picks it up and it's Hank. And he's like, you want to be this big model? Mm. Your new life in Los Angeles? Guess I'm going to go back to Iowa.
See you soon. You'll be back.
Is he like on a ferry? Where is he?
That's what I was like, what is he in Seattle with Keith?
It looked like it was giving Seattle ferry terminal.
I agree. He did look like he was going on to it wasn't like he was at the airport.
Or a train station.
No, he's on a boat. Why? For some reason.
It looked like he was, where is he going?
I have no idea. But also, is he like the easiest stalker ex ever? He just gives up?
He gives up.
I mean, I'm glad because I hate the storyline.
He's like, I'm going back to Iowa. And he's like, but you're going to come back.
Yeah.
You're going to come back to me.
Yep.
Joe comforts her and she's like, he was the coolest guy in high school.
Mm, that says it all.
Wah, wah, wah. At the hospital, Kimberly puts the sticker back on the chart.
Mm.
So it's been off, but now she puts it back. And then suddenly we hear code blue in Michael's patient's room. Now, Michael is treating the guy who's allergic to penicillin.
Yes.
Dr. Levin rushes to his patient and he's treating him. He's like, give him 100 milligrams of epi. They're always given epi.
Yeah, they just do the basics.
They're always like, give him epi.
The writers are like, epi, right?
Let's use that. Do you know how many times I heard epi while I was binging St. Elsewhere? Unbelievable. And Dr. Levin sees that this guy has been taking ampicillin, which is like a penicillin adjacent, whatever. It's like in the penicillin.
It's in the cillin family.
It's in the cillin family. And he's like, this patient's allergic. What's he doing taking ampicillin?
Mancini.
The nurse is like, Dr. Mancini ordered it. And he's like, this is my patient now. Dr. Mancini, he's in a world of shit.
Finally, I got him.
And he's like, He says, if Mancini screwed this up, he's in serious trouble. And Kimberly says, wouldn't that be a shame?
Dun, dun, dun.
Jane talks to her tax attorney and he's like, just pay him. She's like, I don't wanna.
Yeah. Okay.
All right. Back at the hospital, Levin's looking for Michael and he's furious. And he runs into Kimberly and he's like, it's looking bad for Mancini.
Yeah, this whole scene is very weird because I'm like, is he suspicious of Kimberly?
Well, yeah, that's what it comes off as because he says to Kimberly, you know, it could be very easy to remove a sticker from a file. And she's like, wouldn't I know?
But why is he suspicious of her? That's what I don't get. Because he could be suspicious something else happened. Right?
I think he's thinking this is such an egregious fuck up that it seems implausible that even Michael Mancini would make it. There has to be some other angle.
That I can buy, but why would he think it's her? Do you know what I mean? Like
maybe because she happened to be there.
I guess.
And he clocked that she was smirking.
I mean, it's difficult for him to admit this because he does hate Michael, but even he knows something is going on.
He knows something's weird. because Kimberly's smirking when after he says, you know, it would be very easy to remove a sticker from a file. And
yeah.
then he goes, you're a very complicated woman, Dr. Shaw.
She's like, thanks.
And he says, I'm just going to report my findings to the board.
That's best.
Yeah. He doesn't care how Michael gets taken down. He just wants him taken down.
Right. And perhaps in his head, he's like, oh, maybe I have a little ally here. And
right.
Unfortunately, someone might die in the process, but we'll take down Michael Mancini.
That night at D&D, Amanda's mom stops by her office. Chaz is at the bachelor party. They let Chaz go.
Why is he at the bachelor party? They're like, every male cast member, you're in the bachelor party scene.
Honestly.
You too, Hank.
Why isn't Dr. Levin there?
It's true.
Why isn't Dr.
Everyone was on the call sheet.
Everyone was for this bachelor party. And Amanda asks her mom, how well do you really know Chaz? And she's like, very well. Mm. And then she says, he's 10 years younger than you. And she goes, actually, it's 12.
I mean, I don't know what that has to do with anything. He's just a pig.
Honestly, that doesn't seem that much younger.
No.
I thought they were like 20 years apart.
I also thought the same thing. I was like, that's not that bad. Because she's like near, you know, in her 50s probably. So he's in his 40s. Like,
it's the math isn't like adding up completely because he seems like kind of the same age, maybe 5 years older than Amanda.
Yes, but his age is sort of flexible for me because he could be 48 or he could be 32.
He could be 1994, 32.
Yeah, I don't know.
Which looks old. Anyway, Amanda's like, just know that if you end up hurt by him, it wouldn't have been worth it.
She's so weird for this scene. Like, just like, I don't get what she cares. Like, who gives a shit?
She's like dropping hints for her mother that she fucked Chaz.
Right. And it's like, I thought you hated her.
Yeah, who cares?
Let her make her mistakes and get her heart broken. Who gives a shit?
Honestly,
she's an adult woman.
Cut both of these losers loose.
Also, you fucked. Like, why don't you just say right now, I fucked him. So there.
Yeah, she
I'm
hates
just saying
her mom.
He's bad.
Right.
I have proof. And it's... That's still dry on my thigh, okay? You can get it tested. Go check the conference table.
Oh, my God. So Jane stops by the hospital with a check, and she gives it to Kimberly. And she's like, Kimberly, I just want you out of my hair.
There was a lot of scenes in this episode where I'm like, I do not care or need to see this. I don't need to know. I don't care about this Jane storyline at all with the money. I don't ever want to hear about finances again on this show. Like, I'm over it.
Yeah, I agree.
I don't give a shit about Michael getting money from Jane. I hate this storyline.
It just goes on. It just, like, drags a little bit. We need to get to when Michael does even more devious stuff to Jane.
Yes.
So.
Just showing up to work would be funnier.
It would be funnier. Joe and Allison are playing cards with Sarah because Sarah's like still living at Joe's apartment.
Ugh.
Doesn't this bitch have a studio?
This was fucking sad as hell.
This is so sad. They're eating snacks.
And they literally have a little tray of fucking snacks and playing cards.
They're playing like Go Fish.
On the fucking, sitting on the floor at the coffee table.
This is
just like,
sad.
This is really, guys, go to a good dinner. Like, what is wrong with you?
Go to a bar.
It's so crazy.
Why isn't Allison having a bachelorette party?
Wouldn't you just go to like a nice fancy dinner with your girlfriends or
yes.
something? Like,
yes.
This is crazy.
So Sarah's telling Joe that her and Jake would be such a perfect couple. And this is when Joe admits that she still does have feelings for Jake. And then Allison's like, I want to talk about Amanda.
Yeah.
She's like, we need to talk about Amanda. And Joe is like, I just have to accept that Jake and I are over. Like, that's not happening. He's with Amanda.
And Allison's like, boopie-doo.
She wants to tell
How
her.
How do you not tell her? That's your friend.
I would tell her immediately. I'd be like, I saw Amanda and Chaz going at it in the conference room. This is your in.
Allison is such a moron. Like, she has this juicy gossip over her boss, and she doesn't use it in any way that's useful to her or anybody else.
No, she fucks this up royally. At the bachelor party, they're at the strip club. And Michael
saw this coming.
We all knew this was coming. Michael makes a toast. Billy is wasted.
He burped. Did you see that?
No, that is disgusting.
I was like, this is disgusting because he's really drunk and he's drinking beer, like barely drinking it. He's like, whoa, whoa, and he went, bleh. I was just like repulsed by it because it was real. It was a real burp, but it was kind of small.
Ew, that's because
you know he
grosser.
Was trying.
That's even grosser.
He was trying to get a big burp, but that was all they could get. It was so gross.
He looks like he had already thrown up once in the bathroom and had kept drinking after that.
Right. And you know he's drinking like Coors Light and something.
Yeah. He just has this like sheen of like sweat on his forehead.
And no one else is even close to as drunk as he is.
He's hammered.
Yeah.
He is hammered. He is slurring. And that's when Sydney enters the stage, Jungle Jane. And this time she's on brand. She is wearing the cutest little leopard print with the black marabou trim.
Now, this is what she should have been from the get-go. Because we know Sydney loves leopard print.
Yeah.
So why was she not, why was she doing the bowler thing? She should have been Jungle Jane from the get-go.
Because she didn't know she was Jungle Jane.
No, but she should have been. She should have come up with that. That's what I'm saying. Like, the sleazeball guy, come on.
Yeah.
Sydney, be creative.
So she's wearing little, like, cat ears, too. She looks adorable. This is an A-plus outfit to me.
Yeah, she looks great. It's a great outfit. You're right. So, because I did remember now that was like Matt elbowed Jake or vice versa to look who was on stage, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, okay. That was his big moment.
So Michael sees her and he starts cracking up. He loses it.
He loses it. Of course, she throws her bra and Michael catches it.
And he's like, when she sees Michael is in the crowd, she gets humiliated. She's humiliated. So she runs off stage and Michael just like charges through the club, gets up on the stage, goes into the dressing room and starts like.
Those clubs have a lot of security.
He would be thrown out so fast and like maybe even arrested. Like that is crazy. He just like runs up onto the stage and chases her back.
No one stops him. Do you know how many guys are there to stop people from going near the girls? Like it's a thing.
So he chases her out through the alley and he is like.
I like the boss too. He's like, you're fired.
Yeah. Sydney is the one who gets in trouble, not Michael. And they're out in the behind the club. And Michael's like, oh, Sid, look at you. And he's like, here's a tip, Sydney. He gives her $1.
He acts like he's about to be like, it's okay. You're a class act, Sydney.
He's like, he gives her $1 bill. He's like, you earned every penny.
Yeah.
And then
poor Sydney.
And then he takes her bra and he puts it on her head and he starts pointing and laughing at her.
He's literally laughing in her face.
The boys help drunk Billy back into the apartment. Matt cannot wait for this night to end.
Yeah, he's like, I had to come in this week for this. I could have had a week off.
He cannot wait. He's like, I can't believe I just had to go to this bachelor party with these fucking idiots.
Yeah, no.
Michael crazy. Almost got us thrown out.
It's so funny that Matt was in this episode and I really barely registered it.
No, I just noticed him because he looked so pained.
Yeah.
That now he's like, because he says, all right, I'm going to bed. Like, as soon as Billy crosses the threshold, he books it.
Yeah.
He can't wait to leave. But Jake stays behind and he tells Allison, he's like, I take responsibility for the state of Billy.
Yeah.
He's a wreck.
Sorry.
But he's looking for Amanda. And Allison says, you're so amazingly trusting.
Yeah, now I know. Now I know why Chaz was at the bachelor party because they need to say Billy has that line.
Billy is so drunk that he says, "Don't worry, Jake. Chaz was with us the whole night."
So he had to be. That was the writers. Oh, we have him go to the bachelor party, and Billy could say
it was so good. Yeah, have Billy get really drunk. Jake's like, "What's that supposed to mean?" And then Billy starts egging Allison on. He's like, come on, You know what to tell it.
They're so bad at this.
Well, Billy was the one who was so strident about do not tell Jake.
But also, Allison in this moment is not drunk. And she'd be like, I don't know what the fuck he's talking about. Good night, Jake. I'll take over from here. Like, she could have gotten rid of him easily.
Yes.
And she's just so bad at this.
So Allison confesses what she saw at work. She's like, I saw Chaz and Amanda in the conference room. Look pretty serious.
It's getting hot and heavy. He and saw her maiden form.
Jake is like fuming and he storms out and then he goes straight up to Amanda's apartment and he goes, you sleeping around on me? She's like, what are you talking about, Jake? I don't even know. How dare you? She's like, you believe her over me? He's like, Allison told me.
You bastard.
Yeah, you bastard.
Now, why did they not fuck? I'm sorry. I'm unclear on this.
Did who not fuck?
Chaz and Amanda.
They did fuck.
So she's just completely lying right now.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes. Yes.
Because I was like, is she playing a game? Did they only kiss and not fuck?
No. They did fuck. It's confirmed that they fucked. But she calls him a bastard and throws him out of her apartment.
Because he's still supposed to believe her over Allison, even if she's lying.
It's like, according to her.
That's her way of looking at it.
The next day at the hospital, Levin is like, Michael, you look like shit. And he does look like shit.
Michael looks rough.
This is not the first time we've seen Michael show up at the hospital looking green.
You're not supposed to show up hungover as a doctor. That's the one job you really can't get away with it.
Like, it would be so bad if you're about to go into surgery and you look up at your doctor and he looks like that.
Even if they've been working a long day, I don't want them looking frazzled.
No, I don't want that.
You don't want a frazzled doctor.
Anyway, he looks like shit. And Michael's like, I had a meeting with the board and they revoked my chief residency.
Huh.
Well, why? What did I do?
He's always so baffled when anything bad happens to him.
He's like, Levin, you got to do something. And Levin's loving this.
Yeah.
And Michael looks like he's going to barf. Amanda storms into D&D and she loudly fires Chaz and people are like looking. Like she's like, everyone in the office is like watching this.
Literally everyone in the office is in the open, that room where you enter.
Yeah.
The lobby or whatever. And she's like, Chaz, you're fired. In front of like everyone.
She screams it.
Yeah.
Like, you're fired. Get out of here. And everyone's like, ooh. And then she confronts Allison in an iconic Melrose Place scene. This is a very famous line.
Amanda goes off.
This like whole little monologue that she gives to Allison is like it's like one of the famous moments of like an Amanda Allison scene.
Right. Cause it's a real like turning point.
Yeah.
Like it's officially on.
It's on. And she says to Allison, she goes, of all your neurotic, stupid, ill-timed antics, this is the worst. And she's like, but I'm not going to fire you. No, I'm going to do you the way you did me. And when I'm done, all that you'll be left with is that proverbial wish that you'd never been born.
Yeah. The proverbial wish. That killed me.
And Allison's just like, oh, she's quaking.
It's like, get a backbone, Allison. Like, this is why I'm so mad that she had this info and did nothing with it.
If I were Allison, I would have been like, I'm going to tell Bruce that you fucked someone in the conference room. Not even your office, like, in the conference room.
If she was Amanda, she would like get together with Chaz and be like, you want to accuse Amanda of sexual harassment? Let's go. I'll back you up. Do you know what I mean? Like, she's not devious enough to like do things back to Amanda.
Yeah, she would have like a case against Amanda because what she fucked a subordinate.
Yeah, and they could have joined together in a class action.
Yeah.
And she could be like, she abused me too because she's a, you know, maybe she's a lesbian.
Like, oh my God.
Been like some kind of crazy sexual harassment too.
If she had Amanda's personality.
Yes.
She would have taken it to that extra level.
Yes, but she is not a worthy foe.
No, not even. Which is why their fighting is so hilarious to me, is because Allison comes off as so defenseless.
And even when Allison tries to fight back, it's just so sad.
It never works.
Yeah.
At Joe's apartment, Jake stops by and he confesses his feelings for her. And he's like, me and Amanda are over. And Joe's like,
okay, maybe.
She's like, Jake, you can't just come in here and say these things. Amanda's not just going to go away, Jake.
Yeah.
And they almost kiss.
And Joe in this moment is also no backbone. It's just like, just get off the fence. Just make a choice.
Just fuck him.
Fuck him or tell him to go away. Like, don't do this wishy-washy shit.
They almost kiss and instead they hug.
Yeah. Sad.
That night at a nightclub, we see Sydney in her little tight pink crushed velvet dress. And across the bar is Lauren and the girls.
Yeah.
Her old madam with her gaggle of girls. And Sydney approaches them and she's like, Lauren, I want my job back. And Lauren orders her a martini and then rejects her in a very humiliating way.
But here's the thing. In what world was Sydney her best girl? She went on like two dates and was a bust both times. Like, remember the first one with the director? She like walked out without doing anything. Like, she kind of was not the best girl.
Yeah. But for some reason she like, she's like said that before.
Yeah. I was just like, we never saw it.
Anyway, she wants her job back. And Lauren's like, how dare you? You're not going to get your job back, you stupid bitch. And Sydney is so furious. She throws her martini in Lauren's face.
Does she call her a tramp or something?
Lauren calls Sydney a tramp.
She calls her a tramp.
I don't deal in tramps.
Tramps. And Lauren's like, you know Lauren's cool because when she gets a drink thrown in her face, she's kind of like licks it.
She licks it and laughs.
She's like, ha, 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 ha. Like that's your only move if someone throws a drink at you. That's the only way you get out of it is acting like you're enjoying the alcohol and the madness.
Lauren, to me, gives like Gina Gershon in Showgirls vibes.
Yeah.
She's like, you don't want to fuck with her.
Yeah. No, that's because that's like an insane reaction. So you got to scare people with that kind of thing.
Yeah.
You know, be like, well, oh, I don't care. Yeah. I'll just lick it all off. And look good doing it, bitch. My makeup is flawless.
So Sydney is outside the club. Oh, right before Sydney is hauled off, Lauren's like, don't forget, Sid, you still owe me $5,000.
Yeah.
And Sydney is like fuming out on the street. And she's like, call me a whore. You're a stupid whore. She's like grumbling to herself. And that's when a guy in a convertible pulls up and is like, hey, you want to ride? Give you $200. And she's like, I guess.
You're getting a good deal. Yeah. What are the chances that she's walks out of a restaurant, breaks her heel, trying to fix it, and a guy pulls up and is like, hey, I'll pay you for sex?
Just immediately. Just
like in front of a restaurant. This is not like...
No, it was a club.
Or whatever.
Yeah.
But it was like not like in a place where people pick up girls. Like,
I guess so, because he clocks her. He sees that crushed velvet yeah. pink dress, I think. And he's like, that's a Leg Avenue dress.
Okay. I mean, it's a risk he took.
I just think he clocked her dress.
Maybe.
And thought, that's
crazy.
Needs money.
Yeah.
So she gets in. At the hospital, Michael's a wreck in the doctor's lounge and he's drinking. He's drinking alcohol out of a styrofoam cup.
Why is he even there if he got his license taken away?
No, he didn't get his license taken away. He got demoted.
Oh, he's demoted to paperwork again?
No, he was chief residence.
Okay.
Resident, but now he's just back on like regular rounds.
But why would they let him still be a doctor? It's such a mistake where he almost killed someone.
I don't know. I think maybe it was like they know it's a mistake, but it was like bad enough that they demoted him.
I see.
Anyway.
So he's drinking at work.
Which is not going to help his case.
No.
This is, why are you getting drunk at work? This is crazy.
And he's not even hiding it.
No, because Kimberly walks in and she smells it immediately. She's like, oh, you drinking at work?
Yeah.
Drinking on the job?
Noted.
Who drove you here, Michael?
Yeah.
You going to get another car accident? Yeah. And she's like, I'm very sorry. I'm so sorry you got fired from chief resident.
He's like, oh, I'm depressed.
Yeah. She then presents the check to him. She's like, look, Jane gave us this $5,000 check. everything's $5,000
yeah.
in this episode.
Yeah.
And so she then says, you know, Michael, I was thinking we should open a joint account with this money.
Oh, okay. Okay, it's a good idea.
Next, we cut to a shady parking lot at night. Sydney emerges from her car wearing a brown trench coat.
Kimberly.
I'm sorry. Kimberly. Kimberly exits her car wearing a brown trench coat. So you know it's serious.
It's very noir.
It's very noir. And she, a man is there waiting for her. And he greets her, Miss Smith.
So we know something shady's going
down. Something shady's going down. And he goes, so, you want to off this guy, this doctor?
And we're all like, oh.
Oh, she's going to off a doctor. Who could it be? She's going to off a doctor.
Levin.
No, it's Michael. And she's like, I got $5,000. Like, it's $50,000.
Did she actually think that was enough?
That's crazy.
Because she's hiring, this is a professional hitman. This isn't just like some guy on the street who needs $5,000 quick or whatever. Like,
this is also so stupid. This is so dumb because like this is so, there is so much of a paper trail tracing all of this back to Kimberly with this $5,000.
What she should have done was killed him before anyone knew she was alive. Like that would have been the perfect way to do it.
That's the perfect fucking crime.
Yeah. So she's not good at this, I'm afraid.
And then come back months later and being like, wow, I just got out of my coma.
Yeah. She had the perfect opportunity. She actually had the perfect opportunity.
This is not that smart. She's like running too much on emotions right now. He goes, $5,000. You're better off doing this yourself, lady. And then he leaves and she goes, then that's exactly what I'll do.
And we're excited.
Because that's how the episode ends.
So not like the best episode, but a lot of stuff, a lot of wheels start turning here for what's to come.
This is like a setup episode.
Yes. We're tying up Models, Inc., I think.
Yeah, we are.
And we're setting up the end of season two.
Which is explosive.
Yeah. So, yeah, I mean, we're back in it.
The end of season two is like one of my favorite, like it's like a two-part episode.
It's a classic.
It's one of my favorite Melrose Place episodes.
How many more episodes do we have? Just like a few in season two, right?
No, that's it. This one episode left.
Oh, that's it?
Yes, it's like a two-part episode.
Okay, I didn't realize we were literally at the end.
It's called Till Death Do Us Part one and two, I think.
Okay.
I think it's called that.
We'll do both of those next recording sesh next week.
Next week we'll have both of those episodes. It's like a extra long episode.
Oh, that's good. I'm excited.
Yeah. I'm so excited to talk about it because it has one of my favorite moments ever in the show.
Alrighty.
All right. We will be back next week. Thank you so much.
Goodbye.
Bye.
Normally, being a little extra can be a bit much, but when it comes to healthcare, it pays to be extra. And United Healthcare makes it easy with Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they supplement your primary plan, helping you manage out-of-pocket costs without the usual requirements and restrictions like deductibles and enrollment periods. So when it comes to covering your medical bills, you can feel good about being a little extra. Visit uh1.com to find the Health Protector Guard plan for you.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.